Our final presentation is addressing the development of a longwall foam dust suppression. Our presenter is Dr. Paul Kittle, who is the president of Aquafoam. Dr. Kittle is earned his PhD at the University of California, Berkeley, and under the Aquafoam Corporation, he's specializing in various aqueous foam technologies. And he's particularly well noted for bringing technology from the bench to the mine and to other commercial applications. Dr. Kittle, please.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the invitation and the introduction. What I'm going to describe this afternoon is what you need to know to put a foam dust suppression system on a longwall shear. Few compelling initial words to start. We know from several presentations this afternoon that the dust control problem is not going to go away. Several people have said that there's no universal solution and that all the different kinds of techniques might be applicable and necessary to reach the new dust control rules showing up shortly. Everybody here knows that the dust problem is not going to disappear by itself, and we also know that controlling dust needs all the help it can get. Now let's talk about a little bit of logic. Dust control has been practiced using foam for probably 30 years, and conveyor belts, transfer points, and crushers are the most common applications and fundamentally the easiest to get a successful result. The important issues here are that when you want to suppress dust, you want to put the foam where the dust is being generated, essentially at the point of contact. It's simple logic to suggest that as the dust moves further and further away from the point of generation, the volumetric concentration goes down with the cube of the distance, and both kinetically and from an equilibrium point of view, controlling the dust gets more and more difficult. Examples for crushers and conveyors. That's a typical crusher, and you can see right there, inlet on this side, exit on the back, is where the foam is applied. What this wants to achieve is when the coal in the crusher is going to be crushed, the foam is already present and active. If you put this foam in on top of the crusher elements themselves, you will diminish the result. In the case of a conveyor, it's a similar situation. The coal is coming this direction and it's being sprayed on top, and depending on what the configuration is, there may be parallel circumstances underneath spraying the bottom of the conveyor if it happens to be a transfer point. Exactly the same idea. You want the foam on top of the material that is being ready to be propelled as the material falls off the conveyor transfer point. Now here are some important numbers, which are basically empirical parameters for developing a foam system. With most simple surfactants in water and a reasonably good foam generating technique, you can expect an expansion ratio of 25. For definition, that means a gallon of liquid that is going to be foamed will give you 25 gallons of foam. Now, it's not important whether it's 24, 26, or 27. What's important is it's not 10 and it's not 50. The next most important issue is this general relationship right here, and this is empirically delivered. If you have a gallon a minute of liquid being foamed, you're going to generate approximately 25 gallons of foam per minute. And if you're going to convey or mix this system and you want to use it and transport it to an application, the desired foam size, foam hose, would be a half inch line. And the reason that this is important is if the diameter is smaller than that, you're going to reduce the amount of air and therefore reduce the expansion ratio. And if it's larger than that, the air is going to overwhelm the system and it's going to be like a shaken Coke bottle and you're just going to get a big mess. The second important issue here is a half inch ID hose has 0.2 tenths of an inch, square inches in cross-section area, and you'll see that's important in a minute. So if we're going to put a designated amount of liquid through a shear drum, for instance, and this is just arbitrary, I picked 12 gallons a minute, but you could pick any number that you wanted, you're going to want this number to be multiplied by that number to give you that number. And if you correspond to hoses, that number really corresponds to a 1.73 inch hose, which of course you can't buy, but for transporting a 1.5 inch hose will do. Now, the important issue here is that foam is not like a hydraulic liquid, like oil or water. It's tender, and you can't squeeze it, and you can't shear it, and you can't beat on it. It has to be treated with respect, shall we say. So as you go in flow rate here to here, everything has to proportionally get bigger so that the dynamics inside the transport hose essentially remain the same. If you don't, what you do is shear the foam and destroy it, and it just goes back to gas and liquid. So if our drum, which you'll see a picture of in a minute, happens to have 36 nozzles, and there again, that's just an arbitrary number, the area that you're going to need is going to be this amount of cross-section, which corresponds to that, which is 12 times that, divided by 36, or the cross-sectional area of the nozzles on the drum have to be 3/10 of an inch in diameter, not needle size like with a water spray. Now this is important for two reasons. It's important because you can't put foam through a pinhole, and the second thing is that a large diameter nozzle won't suffer plug problems from debris resulting from cutting the coal. And a picture of this, whoops, there's a picture of a place for the pick and a corresponding nozzle, and if you measure that, it's approximately 3/10 of an inch. You'll have to take my word for it. Now, it's important to understand that foam doesn't generate itself instantly. Most people like to think from stirring sugar into coffee that mixing is instant. It's not. It's fast, but it's not instant. There's two ways to do this. One way is to use the delivery hose as a mixing medium, and in certain applications, that's a perfectly reasonable thing to do because you may be mixing the foam right here, but you may be delivering it at the back of the room, and you have to have a hose to get it there anyway, so you might as well just use the hose and let it mix while it's going to its destination. The issue of the half-inch hose and the 1 gallon minute applies. So if you go from 1 gallon a minute to 2 to 20 to 30 or whatever you want to pick, the hose diameter has to be proportionately in concert with that. Sometimes a large amount of hose is a nuisance and you don't really need it. So you can go to a packed bed. Now a packed bed in some chemical terms is somewhat exotic, but for this situation, it doesn't have to be any more complicated than a cylinder or a pipe filled with a suitable material commensurate with the size. So if it's big, you can use marbles. If it's smaller than that, you might have to use small pieces of polymer or polyethylene beads or something like that. But what it does is it allows you to use that length in order to get the mixing satisfied. And it reduces maybe 100 or 200 feet of hose down to something that is only 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 feet long, depending on its size. For the circumstance we're discussing here for a longwall shear, the foam is not going to come out of a single tube. It has to be discharged through, shall we say, a manifold. And as I mentioned a minute ago, foam can't be muscled around. You have to treat it gently. So the manifold that you use has to be balanced and it has to be proportioned, and the collective cross-sectional area of all the discharge has to follow the 1 gallon a minute half-inch rule. So if your delivery hose is 2 inches in cross-section, then the sum of all the nozzle outlets should be approximately the same amount of square inches. If you're going to go through a nozzle delivery that goes from 1 to 2 to 4 to 24 outlets, everything has to be balanced. You can't have anything asymmetric. They all have to have the same diameters, and they all have to have the same nozzles, and they all have to have the same distances. If you don't, the circumstances will be upset, and you'll get erratic or disproportionate flow. Now, here's an example of a manifold of that sort put on a longwall shear. This is just a shear drum. It isn't one that was made specifically for this application, but it is a 1 to 2 to 4 to 24 split. There are 24 outlets, and you can see that's the main hose going in there, and it splits right there, 1 to 2. And then each side splits again, so that's 4. So it's one end split in half, and then split to 24. And under these sets of circumstances, all of the nozzle outlets will have an equivalent discharge amount, like the picture shows. Each of these nozzles is like the one I showed you the picture of before. It's balanced. It has the same amount of flow going in, and it is distributed through, in this case, 24 outlets. But if it was 36 or 48 or 72 or whatever number you wanted to pick, you could do exactly the same thing. So, as they say, that's all you need to know, and that's all you have to do. So my request is, join up with the people who can do this, either as a mine operator who might need it or a shear manufacturer who might be able to provide it. And let's help make coal dust go away.
Any questions? Now let me ask one if I may.
Sure.
So I thank Dr. Kittle for his presentation. Actually, if you want, you take your question first.
I was wondering if you have any problems with the foam caking, or once the foam is sprayed and deposited where you want it, does it settle, and how long does it last?
Well, your last statement is the answer to your first question. First of all, we're talking about a water-based foam that, in terms of the people sitting here, would be analogous to the foam you would get if you were washing your dog or the car or running the faucet into a dishpan with soap suds in it or something like that. And you know, you may not have ever thought about it, but you know intuitively the persistence of foam of that sort is measured in minutes. Now, if you took that sort of foam and you just spread it on the table, it would take probably 15 to 25 minutes to disappear, and it would be gone. In a mine application, the destructive forces of everything falling off the face, falling off the roof, the agitation of the shear, et cetera, destroys it much more quickly. So the answer to your question is twofold. First of all, it won't cake chemically. And second of all, it won't be there after 60 seconds or something of the sort.
So thank you. Let me ask my question. I'm not sure how to do this comparative analysis I'm going to ask for, but we heard a lot about water sprays up to this point, and I know Dr. Kittle is interested in foam. Is there any quantitative or qualitative way to compare the relative effectiveness of these two systems?
The answer is yes, and I think it's mostly pragmatic in that you need to have a system like a crusher, for instance, where you have a water spray existing and you can measure the dust control parameter and you could use foam and do similarly. The biggest advantages of a foam system are that the amount of liquid that you have to use is vastly less than the amount of liquid you use in a water system. Casually speaking, maybe 10 times as less. Now, you noticed on the slide there, I put 12 gallons a minute, and the reason I use 12 gallons is that something on the order of 25 gallons a minute is the flow rate for the cooling water on a longwall shear. And we didn't get into a discussion of this because it's a little bit complicated. But fundamentally, if you're going to do something like this, the water that is going to be foamed is the water that is used to cool the shear. So right now what happens is you put water through the cooling system and discharge it out through the drums or other vents into the mine. And you would do the same sort of thing if you were using foam as a dust suppression medium, because by one mechanism or another, you have to get the foaming agent into the water, and it has to end up coming out the system and being discharged somewhere. So the balance is that if you're using a cooling system that has 25 gallons a minute, and that's required, say, by the heat generation of the motors and things of that sort, then that is the amount of foam that you could conceivably use under those particular circumstances. Now, not to say that you couldn't use more, but the test comparisons that you're alluding to have been done over and over and over again, and more times than not, even though the circumstances are that the foam system cost more than the water does, for obvious reasons, the foam systems are superior, partly because of performance and partly because of water use.
Thank you.
Sure.
So let's give a round of applause to Dr. Kittle and all our speakers this afternoon. As we conclude this session, I would remind you that the next technical session is tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in this particular room, and it will address proximity detection. Thank you very much.